Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Well, I mean, we're getting there. One of the best days of my life, anyway, when the governor signs the bill. It's now on the governor's desk. I'm told he is going to sign the bill. In fact, I am told by Representative Diane Pappas he's excited to sign the bill. And I'm hoping for one of those bill signing events. This is the bill. Here's what I'm talking about, if you don't know, that will protect first state in America to do this, that'll protect pets from kennel fires. I was motivated after a fire killed 31 dogs out in West Chicago in January. And I said, something needs to be done. As I looked into it more, I learned that, well, for example, between Christmas of last year and today, we're talking about 100 animals that have died as a result of kennel fires. And had there been sprinklers, had there been an alarm system that rings directly to the fire department or a human being there, in all of these fires, not as many, if any, animals would have died. So I thought, okay, we're going to do something about it. So that is now going to be the law in Illinois. Sprinkler systems, alarms that ring directly to the fire department, or a human being there. Once it's signed by the governor, which is going to happen very soon, I'm very excited about that. You know, for people who say, Steve, why are you picking on these pet stores that sell dogs and cats and so supportive of laws that ban dogs and cats being sold at pet stores? Well, here's why. You say puppy bills don't exist? Well, check out the story. You could read about it on my blog. 700 dogs were confiscated. I mean, It's unfathomable. How could it get to that point? At a puppy mill in Georgia. The good news is I guess they were eventually rescued. Most of the dogs will live, although suffering all sorts of different issues throughout their life. But how does it get to that point? It shouldn't. Check out my blog, stevedale.tv, for more information about that. I am supportive of the first state in America banning declaw in cats. And we will have Assembly member Linda Rosenthal on the show in just a couple of minutes. In fact, if you love cats, 312-981-7200, you could text, you can call, because that's what this show is greatly all about. You won't believe it. I never could have thought Dr. Ebenezer Sarah Aja, I rehearsed your name several different times, Ebenezer, Dr. Ebenezer, and I apologize. So let me do that again. Sataraj?
Yeah, no.
Sataraj. Have I got it?
Yes.
Oh.
That's correct.
I'll tell you, that's the toughest part of the whole interview. Good morning. Thank you for getting up so early. And, you know, one of the reasons why we relinquish cats to animal shelters, sometimes they just are booted outside, or we don't get them in the first place, are allergies. And allergists have told me, human allergists, that there are more people more allergic to cats compared to dogs. Cat allergies are really high on the list of allergies as to the most common allergies we have. And I never, ever, ever, ever would have thought what you're about to tell me could even be a possibility. Before you explain that, I think when we say cat allergies, people have a mistaken notion that they're allergic to the dander on the cat's hair or something like that. So explain what cat allergies are all about first.
Good morning, Steve. Yeah, people who have sensitivities to cat allergens primarily respond to a protein called FLD1 that's produced in their saliva and gets secreted. Then as the cat groom, it gets transferred to the hair. And that's the dried saliva, which forms the dander that gets in the environment. About 95% of the people who report the sensitivities to cats primarily respond to this particular allergy. And you're right, it's a huge problem. Sensitivities to cat allergens tend to be the most important animal-related allergen that people respond to.
Well, you are.
In fact, about 20% of the people in the world, 20% of the adults, tend to have sensitivities to cat allergies.
That's a lot of people. So you are the director of molecular nutrition at Purina. I should have said that at the start. A lead investigator on some research that is mind-blowing. Explain what this research is and has been now all about.
Happy to do this, Steve. So as I described earlier, about 1 in 5 adults globally tend to have sensitivities to cat allergens. And this has important consequences both for people as well as the pets they love. What people do is to be able to go through elaborate cleaning procedures to keep the allergens out, or tend to have other approaches to be able to manage cats. And primarily, most of that involves either limiting their interaction with the pets they love, or they have to, in some extreme cases, have to give the pets away. And that has consequences because many of these pets are in shelter. And allergies to cats tend to be one of the primary reasons that pets are relinquished. And if you have a pet in the home and you're not able to interact with him or her closely, that has a significant impact both for the pet and for the pet owner.
Well,
so what we have done in our studies is to have a proactive approach for the very first time to be able to safely neutralize the major cat allergen, SLD1, at its source in saliva. This breakthrough approach significantly reduces the amount of active SLD1 that has been put out from the cat saliva onto the hair and dander, and therefore ultimately reduce the amount of active SLD1 in the environment. And we believe this innovative approach can transform the way people manage allergens to cat. It reduces the exposure to the allergen and not to the cat. And that's critical because I think we believe people and pets belong together. The more interactions people can have with their pets is great for people as well as pets. Most importantly, this approach does not interfere with the normal production of SLD1 with the cat, and therefore does not affect the overall physiology of the cat. Research that we carried out was published recently in a journal where we showed that 97% of the cats enrolled in the study that were fed a diet containing an antibody directed against SLD1 safely reduced the amount of active SLD1 on their hair. We had an average reduction of about 47% observed in the study.
All right, so I want to put this, first of all, thank you very much, because this is groundbreaking information, and friends listening to WGN Radio, you are hearing this first, and you're going to be hearing about this like on the national news. This is a big, big deal. So I want to back up a step and you're a scientist, I know, but explain this on very, very simple terms so even people like me can understand. So people are allergic to cats. They give up their cats as a result, or they don't get cats in the first place as a result of that. And you said we can change all that, and that change occurs exactly, in simple terms, how?
So what you would do is you would have a food for the cat that contains this active ingredient. So you're going to be feeding the cat as usual. You're just adding a diet that has this particular ingredient in it. This antibody directed against SLD1 that's present in egg yolk tends to go and bind and block the allergen, so that when the SLD1 gets into the environment through the grooming process from the hair, it is not able to interact with the key machinery that elicits symptoms in humans.
Now we have
From your perspective, yes. You're not changing your normal routine.
All right, so we have some text questions that are leading right into about, it says experiment on cats, what were the effects for these cats, and you said it, but I want to make an important point of it, and you can repeat it, that the cats, there was no chance of the cats being affected by this, and in fact, that was the case, except humans are affected in a positive way. We don't sneeze, our noses don't run, all of that.
That's correct. In the studies that we conducted, Steve, we did not see any changes in terms of cat physiology or cat behavior, their ability to eat, changes in their hair. No differences noted when you compare the group that was fed the test food versus the control group. And you're right, the benefit really translates to reducing the amount of overall active SLD1 in the environment, which would have an impact for people who have sensitivities to this particular allergen.
What do you hope all this leads to?
I think we are looking forward to having some of this as part of our diets down the road. While at the moment we are really excited of the science that this is for the very first time we're able to do this in a proactive, safe, and simple manner. And I think at the end of the day, Steve, the ultimate goal for me as a scientist is what kind of a difference I'm making in people's lives. I mean, they can have publications, they can have all kinds of other stuff come out. But if we're able to enable a father, and it's interesting that you're talking about it on Father's Day, for a child who has allergies or somebody in the home has allergies, then he or she wants her dad to get her a pet. Here's a solution that you can use to be able to get them the pet they want, because now you would have a proactive diet-mediated approach to be able to manage the cat allergy.
I think that to me is
really cool, and that I think is what we are all about.
Well, really cool is an understatement. This is a game changer, and I can assure you, friends, we're just touching on it now. We're going to hear a lot more about this as all the science progresses. And the nice thing about Purina is that you've opened up your books, so to speak, and have said, okay, here's what we're working on. Here's where we are now. Most companies in the world wouldn't do that at this point in time. So I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful for any opportunity to save cats' lives. Happy Father's Day to you as well, Dr. Sadaraj.
Thank you. Which is the same, and to all your listeners as well.
Thank you. You know, the biggest problem I have sometimes is just pronouncing the folks' name I talk to. 648 on WGN, I can pronounce, Assembly Member Linda Rosenthal shepherded something through that is quite amazing. The first state to ban declaw. New York State will be the first to officially do that. We'll hear from her in a moment. I'll tell you, she's a hero in my world because I've been talking about how barbaric declaw is for years now. And I'm at the point in time, I never really wanted to legislate veterinarians, but enough is enough. You know, in Canada, the veterinarians have said, we're going to legislate ourselves, in essence. They said, we're just going to ban it. And they've done it in several provinces in Canada. Now, New York State legislated, or is about to, say no declaw for cats. It will be the first state to ban cats. And that hero, Assemblymember Linda Rosenthal, is on the phone now. Hello, Assemblymember Rosenthal. Thank you, because this will save cats' lives. What compelled you to have? We need to do this. I mean, there's so many things going on that an assembly member in New York, I'm sure, is torn all these different ways. Why cats for you?
Well, I'm a big animal advocate, and I've passed many laws regarding all sorts of animals, bears and cats and dogs and others. So I have two cats myself, and they very happily tear up my furniture, but it's fine with me because that's what cats do. I've been involved with the Paw Project, which started campaigning for awareness and for laws to pass around the country. They're based in California. And so I took on this challenge about 5 years ago and introduced this bill that would ban all cat declawing except in the case of medical necessity. And the official establishment veterinarian organization in the state has been campaigning against it ever since.
But they
finally reached the end of their excuses and we pushed back against every excuse. And finally, you know, common sense and compassion prevailed, and we passed the bill in both houses.
Excuse, in fact, is probably the right word, because those excuses could be argued, as I'm sure you did, rather easily. Do you think that the organized veterinary community, the New York Veterinary Medical Association, from your experience, truly is really representing veterinarians and also veterinary technicians on the ground?
Well, not the ones I deal with. I mean, I speak to a lot of veterinarians, and you know, they are great doctors, but they're also very compassionate, which is what I thought all veterinarians were before I introduced this bill and some other bills, because for many it's a business. Like any other industry, it's a business and it's a money maker. And the other part they don't like is us telling them what to do. But, you know, we legislate about what doctors are allowed to do all the time. And veterinarians should be no different. And when they're committing barbaric acts against our beloved cats, then they have to be stopped.
As people provided testimony, but like Jennifer, Dr. Conrad of the Paw Project that you mentioned, and others, were you even surprised at how compelling the evidence is today in 2019 of the long-term possible effects of declaw?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, my one cat, Kitty, because she doesn't answer to anything else, just recoils if I even try to, touch her in that area. Of course, you know, her nails have to be cut, but it's such a sensitive area for them, and they use their claws all the time. You know, they're always stretching, they're scratching. That's part of their nature. And why would anyone want to deprive them of that? And particularly for the sake of replaceable furniture. It's hard to understand that.
Well, what's even more hard to understand is that today I'm a behaviorist. So today we know that behavior modification really works. A product called Feel-A-Scratch, a pheromone product, can actually redirect cats to scratching posts, and there's no side effect, no downside of using that. And simple behavior modification means if you don't want your furniture scratched, in fact, it doesn't need to be scratched for virtually all cats. So we can make a difference without actually mutilating or amputating. And it is an amputation without amputating these cats. Are you hopeful now that other states will replicate what you did in New York?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, generally, when New York passes legislation on any subject, other states look to that and say, well, maybe we can do that here. And that's what I'm really hopeful will happen with this particular bill soon to become law when the governor signs it, because it, you know, some state had to be first to step out and say, we're not tolerating this anymore. Obviously, animals can't speak for themselves, and so it requires humans that are interested in protecting their rights. Cats can't vote for you. Cats can't give you campaign contributions. You're doing this purely because it's the right thing to do. And I think this will now spread through other states.
I sure hope so. And what I also know is that I will be talking about, and you will be a topic discussed. I will be talking in a good way. I'll be talking with Dr. Robin Downing, who arguably is the world's expert on pain management and pain in our pets and dogs and cats. She also is an expert on veterinary ethics. And together, we are speaking at a couple of veterinary conferences coming up. And now we have to readjust our talk because you're in it.
Goodness.
You're in it in a very good way. You've stepped up and you've said, I need to do the right thing. You have. And I thank you. I think most cat owners thank you as well. And you know what? I think most of the profession actually thanks you indeed also. Assemblymember Linda Rosenthal, again, from me, thank you so much. I appreciate you standing up there and doing what is right for cats.
Thank you. Thank you. My pleasure.